Good morning, Rabbeisai. Our limud of Hilchas Lashon Hara and Rechilus is as a schus for the refuah of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, Hishtav Refuah Shleim of Sosha, Choyli Yisrael B'Korov. The halacha that we started learning on Friday about the money that was stolen in the mikveh. I spent a lot of time over Shabbos trying to work it out. We discussed it at the Shabbos table with my wife and guests. We talked it through, and I'm still not quite sure, but I'm going to give you the scenarios, and we'll have to see. I'm not quite sure what the Chofetz Chaim is telling us. The Chofetz Chaim says as follows, that if I went to mikveh, and I came out afterwards, and somebody comes over to me, one person, a dechot, and he says to me, you should know that whilst you're in the mikveh, Ploini stole a wad of notes from the back pocket of your trousers. Yeah, then the halacha would be, it's Lashon Hara. I'm not allowed to believe it. I'm not allowed to be mekabel the Lashon Hara. There's nothing I can do about the money that's been stolen. The only thing I'm allowed to do, says the Chofetz Chaim, always is
protect yourself
in the future. In other words, next time I go to mikveh, I'm not going to leave any money in my back pocket.
You can check to your pocket if you've got it or not.
What?
You can check your pocket if you've got it or not.
I haven't got it. I'm saying it's not there now.
So it's true.
But it was there beforehand.
Yeah, you're allowed to go and
but do I know who took it?
No,
maybe somebody else took it.
Can you find it out?
What? Can you find out? How do you find out? There's not much, according to, as far as I understand, there's nothing you can do about it because you can't even tell anybody else about it because you're not allowed to believe that it happened. The halacha is, you hear from an eidechot, a lashon hara, you're not allowed to believe it, you can only protect yourself, mikan al habor.
Did the eidechot point to a guy who it is?
Yeah. He told me who it is. He told me it is, and he says he saw it with his own eyes. But he was the only one in the room at the time.
Are you allowed to go and ask him?
What? Yeah, sure, you can go and ask him. Yeah, you go and ask him. Did you steal the money from the back pocket of my trousers? Of course I didn't. Chas v'sholem, how dare you suspect me? Yeah? Ploini says that you did. Now I've spoken Lashon Hara. Yeah, and now it's not even Lashon Hara, it's Rechilus, because he's now going to have an enmity against Ploini. Right, that's case number one. Case number two was Devorim HaNikorim, which we spoke about on Erev Shabbos, which is that he's the only person who could have done it. Okay? There was only me and him in the building. Nobody else could get in. There was no other possibility. It's definitely him. Says the Chofetz Chaim, we can move up on Madrega, says the Chofetz Chaim, and we can believe that he stole it. Right? I was in the room. I was in the mikveh. He was the only other person there at the time. Nobody else could have got inside. I'm sure I had the money. I didn't wear a different pair of trousers. I've checked everything out. There's no don lechavskus. It definitely, he took the money. I'm sure of it. Says the Chofetz Chaim, Devorim HaNikorim, you're allowed to believe it. But the question is,
you don't always need eidus or to actually physically.
With Devorim HaNikorim, says the Chofetz Chaim, with good, reliable, circumstantial, undoubted evidence, you can believe it. But my question is, so you can believe it, so what? I still can't do anything about it. The Chofetz Chaim says, you can believe it, but you can't go and take his money. I can't go to shul and take his talis and tefillin, and hold on to them until he gives me my money back, even though I'm allowed to believe the story. Says the Chofetz Chaim, you can't do that. I can't fashem him in public. I can't tell anybody else about it. I can't hit him. I can't try and force, get the mob in and try and force an admission out of him.
Okay.
All those things the Chofetz Chaim says, you can't do anything about it. In which case, what do I have from being able to believe it? This was the kasha that bothered us over Shabbos. It still bothers me now.
Okay.
Masha Einkein, if there were two witnesses who came to me, two people saw him steal from my trousers whilst I was in the mikveh, I can go to Beis Din with that. I can go to a Rav with that. I can tell other people. I'll pishnai medim yokum dovo. Let the Beis Din examine the witnesses. And then I've got a case that I can get my money back. But if not for that, the middle case of Devorim HaNikorim, which is our subject at the moment which we're learning, what do I gain from it? I can't do anything practical to try and get my money back. So I believe it. I'm allowed to believe it.
Why would
Big
you
deal.
Believe it if you can't do anything about it?
That's my question is, I'm allowed to believe it, the Chofetz Chaim's clear. I can't do anything about it, the Chofetz Chaim's clear. So what do I really gain from believing it? Okay.
Sure.
Hand over to the speaker.
Sunday. Hey, Teves, 5th of January, Rabbi Yehuda Sadik Shlita. Temporary redemptions en route to the ultimate salvation. This week's prayer response in an honest name is Shalom Shalom Bimhiro.
Amen.
Amen.
The year was 1991, and I was a young bachur learning in Eretz Yisrael in the middle of a war. It's the first Gulf War. Under a lot of pressure, my parents were begging me to come home. The Scud missiles were coming in from Saddam Hussein. One actually fell not too far from the yeshiva that I was at. And at that time, it was the beginning of news getting around faster than just the regular channels. Cable was becoming a big deal, and I think that was the beginning of CNN. And my poor parents were sitting in front of the television watching CNN. And you know how it is, when you're away from something, it seems much harsher than when you're there. So we were given gas masks and the cheder atum, the sealed rooms, the whole thing. At that time, there was a certain excitement in Eretz Yisrael. As it happens that, unfortunately, when events happen, that's when we wake up and everybody's going back to their nach and pulling it out and quoting Zechariah and here and there and making connections. And it says when Iraq happens here and this happens and that's when Mashiach is going to start and he's at the door. And you know how it goes. You know, we're starved. Anything happens like that, we start getting excited. And everybody was quoting things and telling stories and what they were told by their Rebbe and what the Chafetz Chaim had said and what this one had said. And so as a young Baal Tshuva, I got swept up in it. I got swept up in it. So I had a very special Rebbe who pulled me aside and he gave me a gift. He taught me something and I want to share that gift with you today, this morning. Because in every generation, we have the opportunity to bring Mashiach. And we have the opportunity to bring the salvation. The question is, what do we do while we're waiting? And that's the gift that he gave me, which I'm going to share with you today. So in this week's Sedra, in the Pasha coming up, the Pasuk says, Vayikra Yaakov al bono vayomer he'osfu v'agidu lachem et asher yikra etchem b'acharit hayomim. It says that Yaakov Avinu gathered his children around and was going to tell them what's going to be at the end of the day. It's so exciting. Here it is. I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen. The end of days, the redemption, the final redemption, what's in pratim, in details, and they're hanging on there. They can't wait. We can't believe this. Abba's going to tell us what's going to be. And Rashi says, Bikesh legalot et haketz. Yaakov Avinu wanted to tell him what's going to be at the end of time. Nistalka mimenu. And it was removed from him. Nistalka mimenu ha-shechina. The shechina was taken away from him. V'itchil omer dvarim acherim. He started talking about the weather. And they're hanging on there. Like, what happened over here? What are you teasing us like this for? So the Or Gedalia, Rav Gedalia Shor, asks two great questions here. He says, number one, that's pretty mean to bring people over. We hated it in school when somebody said, come into the lunchroom. I got gossip to tell you today. And then you come to the lunchroom. He goes, I decided it's probably not the right thing to tell you. All of a sudden he's a tzaddik. You know, Lashon Hara, I can't tell you. You want to choke the guy? What are you teasing me for? Second question that Or Gedalia asks, even if such a thing happened, what are you doing telling us about it? Now, why are you teasing us about it? It's one thing that Yaakov Avinu teased the sons. He almost told them, but he didn't tell them. Okay, we'll see what the reasons for that is. But what the Torah doesn't waste letters and psukim and words. What toelet is there for the Torah to tell us? I want you to know, Yaakov Avinu gathered all his sons. He almost told them. He didn't tell them, but he almost told them. What does that do for me? What am I gaining out of this? Question number two. We'll come back to this. It says again in the Parsha, Vayichi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim Shvas Rishona, Yaakov Avinu lived in Eretz Mitzrayim 17 years. And then it says, Vayime Yaakov, Shnecha Yaakov, Shvasra Shana, Arboim Shana, Umat Shana, 147 years. Again, why couldn't the Pasuk just put it all together? Vayichi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim, Shvasra Shana, Shnecha Yaakov, 147 years. The Torah does not waste a letter, let alone extra words and words and words. So descriptive that it splits it in two sections. Yaakov lived in Eretz Mitzrayim for 17 years, and Yaakov's life was this many years, this many years, this many years. Ifrat, that it says in Gemara Megillah, anytime it says Vayehi, Lashon Tzar, Vayhaya is Simcha. Anytime it says Vayhaya, it's a good thing. Good things happening. When it says Vayehi, is Tzar, it's tough times. Vayehi b'meach Hashverosh. So what's the Vayehi here? On one hand it says Vayehi, it sounds like Chayut, he left, he lived, it was great. But on the other hand it says Vayehi, which means that he had a lot of Tzar, it wasn't so good. Another thing that we'll have to come to. So let me get to the gift that my Rebbe gave me. My Rebbe said the following. He said, you see, by Moshe Rabbeinu, as a young boy in Paro's house, he seems to be somebody who is campaigning. We have Counselor Cohen here, who campaigns all the time, does so much for the Kehila. He's campaigning, and he's doing everything right to be the leader of the Jewish people. He sees their pain. He goes out to his brothers. Excellent, amazing. He kills the Mitzri that was harassing the Jew. He gets in between two Jews that were fighting. He flees from Paro. He runs away from Paro. His life is in danger from Paro. He goes to live with Yitro. I remember once I saw Rav Jonathan Sacks at a convention. So I went backstage and I caught him for 10 minutes. It was so special. He wasn't yet ready to go on stage. I said, can I speak to the Rav for 10 minutes? He said, sure. So I got a little 10 minutes with him in the back. And I was talking about leadership. And I said, how do you do it? There's so many knocks on you. There's so much pressure on you. And suave, you're so calm and cool, and you let it, you know, I'm sure deep inside it wasn't easy for him. This is what he told me. He said, what's your name? I said, Yaakov. He said, Rabbi Yaakov, let me ask you a question. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu had a sweet deal. He was sitting in Paro's house, probably on some mirpeset, on some balcony, and he's overlooking Egypt, and he's saying, this is all going to be mine one day. And they're throwing grapes in his mouth and fanning him. He has to do one thing. Don't look over there. Don't mind your own business. Don't be bothered with what's happening with the Jews. You're a tinok shenishpa. You were thrown into the river. You'll have olam haba. You'll be okay. It's not your fault. Just mind your business. Don't get involved over there. But he can't. He keeps opening the shades. He's like, keep the shades closed. He can't. And he keeps looking to see what's going on over there. And he goes out there. He says, you know what he got for it? 40 years of bickering and complaints. He says, they should have set an alarm clock. Every 5 minutes they should have said, Moshe Rabbeinu, which toe should we kiss? How do we thank you for what you did for us? And all he had from it was tzarot. So, Rav Sacks said, in order to be a leader, you have to open the window. You got to open the shades. You have to go out to your brothers. So he seems to be this man. Moshe Rabbeinu seems to have all the qualifications to be a leader. Okay? Hashem says, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're up. You got it. The job is yours. Mianochi yelech al Paro. Who am I to go to Paro? V'chiotzi et b'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim. I'm going to take out the Jews from Mitzrayim? Biadoni. I can't talk. You know I have a speech impediment. You know I can't speak well. Gam mitmol, gam mishulshom, yesterday. the day before, Gam Yoz, Barachal Avodechok, Kichvat Pech, Vat Lashon Anochi, I can't speak, I don't know, what are you picking on me for? And nobody could understand, what's going on over here? You were the guy, you campaigned for this job. You showed everybody that you're a superstar. What spooked Moshe Rabbeinu out, said my Rebbe? Something spooked him. What happened over here? So explained my Rebbe that Hashem said, Ehye Asher Ehye. And Rashi says, Ehye Imam Betzara Zu, Asher Ehye Imam Beshibut Shar Malkiot. Moshe, I'll be with them, don't worry. I'll be with them in this galut, just like all the other exiles that I'll be with them. Moshe Rabbeinu said, hold on a second. Whoa, other exiles? Who mentioned other exiles? That wasn't the deal here. We were told in the Brit Bein HaBetarim, my great Zayde, my great Saba was told that the Mitzrayim would oppress us. We would spend a certain amount of years in Egypt. There'll be a savior, okay, it could be me, and I'll take you out, and we'll go out, and we'll go to Eretz Yisrael, we'll debate HaMikdash, and everything's going to be fantastic. I should go to Bnei Yisrael and tell them, guys, this is going to be great. We're going to go out, and Hashem will be with you not only now, but in all the bloodshed and all the terrible things that are awaiting us, He's also going to be with us. Don't worry about it. How's that going to go for? And therefore he says, Moshe Rabbeinu answers, Shlach no biat yishlach. Hashem, send with somebody else, not me. I'm not the right guy for the job. Ein sofi lach nisam la'aretz lihot go'alam la'otit. I'm not going to be their savior in the future. Yesh lecha shuluchim harbe. This is not for me. I see that I'm not going to even take them into Eretz Yisrael. So what's the point? You have other messengers, Hashem. You don't need me. I can't bear to see suffering. I went out to my brothers because it was bothering me. And you're telling me we're going to see years and years of bloodshed until the final redemption? I can't handle such a thing. And to that, Hashem taught him a lesson that if you want to be a true leader, you have to have the savlanut, and you have to be able to bear that until the final redemption comes, you will take temporary redemptions, temporary reprieves for your people. When the final redemption will be, I don't know, and I'm not going to tell you now. But a true leader at that moment takes whatever he can for his people to give them a reprieve, to give them a temporary geula, if we can call it that. And that's where the growth of Moshe Rabbeinu came, taking them out of Eretz Yisrael in the 40 years in the desert that he dealt with them. Yaakov Avinu learned this in a hurry. It says, Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz migurei aviv. And then right away it says, Eila toldot Yaakov Yosef. What are you mentioning Yosef for? If you're going to mention his lineage, it starts back from Reuben. What are you mentioning? Why Yosef? What do you mean his lineage, his generation is Yosef? So we know the Rashi there. Bikesh Yaakov leishev b'shalva. Yaakov wanted to come back in serenity and peace. And all of a sudden Hashem said, oh, Yaakov, you got some ways to go. We got 22 years of Yaakov missing coming up. We're not done yet. So once again on this, the Chazal asked Ribbono Shalom, what are we talking about? You're making it like Yaakov Avinu, some guy who retired and is looking to play golf all day. And he's saying, I put in my hard times. The poor guy here was kicked out by his mother, Rivka. He was born Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim. He sat in Kolel and learned all day, and it was wonderful. And his mother brought him food, and everything was taken care of. And now all of a sudden, he has to go into Lavan's house. On the way, his brother's chasing him to kill him. He has to live in that rush of love and sass without Avodah Zarah. Can you imagine waking up to the wrong wife the next morning? Who does that? Who wakes up in the morning and says, who are you? Where's my wife? The tzaras that he had with Rachel, being cheated by Lavan. Lavan chased him to kill him. Esav's Malach came to kill him, to fight with him. He had Nisayon after Nisayon after Nisayon. Finally, he makes it back to Eretz Yisrael, and he says, where is that tent? Can anybody point me to my tent? Has it been refurbished? Did you put it on a new property? Maybe you made it a two-story tent. Where is that tent with all my svarim? Where is it? I want to come back to my tent. That's all he was asking for. And the Torah makes it as though he wanted to retire and say, enough already, Hashem, okay? Hashem said, you can have your tent back. You can have your svarim back. But it's going to be with having to deal with Yosef missing for the next 22 years. Shalva, complete salvation, is not till the end, Yaakov Avinu. Complete serenity is Olam Haba. It's not the way you feel. It's not the way you think. So a story about the Yismach Moshe, the great Yismach Moshe, wanted to see what's going on in Shammai. Okay? He fasted. He did all sorts of things. And it took a long time. And one night in dream, he saw what was going on up there. There was a group of people sitting around and some benches and chairs and learning Gemara and chuckling over. He goes, this is it. This is all I'm up. This is what I'm doing down here. What's this? I guess he wanted to see maybe springs and rivers and all sorts of things that he imagined. A bat kol said to him, he said, listen to me, Moshe. Paradise is not when tzaddikim reside in paradise. Paradise is when paradise resides in tzaddikim. It's not about what Olam Haba is going to look. It's about how you're going to feel after your 120 years. It's not the physicality of it that it is in this world. So Hashem was telling him, you have to feel shalva. You have to feel that serenity, even in the difficulties that you're going to. I know it's not going to be easy. But that's the makeup of a Jew, is the makeup of a Jew. And Yaakov learned this. And therefore what happened was that the Pasuk says in Truma that when the beams were being made for the Mishkan, it's unbelievable, V'asita takrashim, and you should make the beams. Hayalolomar v'asita krashim. You should make beams, not hakrashim, the beams. Just like Yom Hashishi. In Bereshit we say, why does it say Yom Hashishi? Every other day it says Yom Revi'i, Yom Chamishi. Why Yom Hashishi? Because there we said it's the sixth day, the sixth of Sivan, when we receive the Torah at Har Sinai. So to hear, Rashi asks, why does it say Mahu hakrashim? Yaakov Avinu Nata Arazim Bemitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu brought the Arzeshitim, the special wood, into Mitzrayim, and he planted them. Ukushemet, and when he was passing away, Tzivalebanav La'alotami Mahem, and he says, one day you're going to leave here, my dear children. You're not going to be here forever. Kashietsu Mimitzrayim, V'amar Lam She'otit HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One day in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you the opportunity to build the Mishkan, and these would be the wood that you will need to build the Mishkan. That's not where the story ends. That's physically what they needed. But the Chachamim ask on this, Mitzrayim was a very resourceful country. There could have been lumber yards and places where they could have gotten this wood. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu's idea was far deeper than that. Yaakov Avinu knew that after he passed away, his children would despair in Egypt. When they're being whipped and building storage houses and despairing that, could it be that our salvation will one day come? Every day when they would pass by these trees, it would be a sign to them of what their father said. Our father said that there'll be a day that we're going to need these woods. That means we will be redeemed. And it was a siman for them that there is such a thing that will have a savior. They didn't know it would be Moshe Rabbeinu, but somebody will come is going to save us. So Yaakov Avinu put those trees down there specifically to lift the souls of his children when they would be down and in despair that there's no shot, that there's no chance, 400 years. My goodness, how many years? We're still 190 years away. It's been 210. Maybe our great, 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 great grandchildren. 400 years. How are we going to ever make it? Yaakov said, look at those trees when you pass by. I put them there because you're going to be taking them and you're going to need them. I was asking a great tzaddik recently for a segula, for shiduchim. He said, go and buy glasses for each one of your daughters and put them in a cupboard. I said, for what? He said, those are the glasses that you're going to break under the chuppah, Bezat Hashem. And every time you pass by that cabinet and you see those glasses, you remember there'll be a day, Mitzvah Hashem, your daughters will get married. Don't despair. Look at those glasses. And it's a segula that you should remember. Not to forget Hashem, that Hashem won't forget your daughters. Hashem won't forget you. Hashem won't forget you. So they passed by the trees and they had chizuk. And they had chizuk. The Medrash says that the Jews used to work on Shabbat. So Moshe Rabbeinu went to Paro. Paro, he had Paro's ear. And he said to Paro, Hashem, I don't understand. An Eved that works gets a day off. Every slave gets a day off. Ra Moshe she'ein la manucha. They had no peace. Halach v'yomer lepar mishi yesh lo eved im eino noach yom echad v'shavahu meit. He's going to die. V'yu l'avodecha im ata maniach lahem yom echad v'shavahu he meitim. If you don't give them a day off, they're going to die. It's counterproductive to what you want from them. Amar lo asel. I said, Lahem Kimoshe Tamar. Okay, give them Shabbat off. Give it to him off. Halach Moshe v'tikin lahem et yom ha-Shabbat lanuach. And it says, look at this. What did it say? What did they do on that day? Could be they're having cholent tonight. Could be Kugel's cholent. But look what the Medrash says. The Medrash says that it didn't work. Power caught on to what was happening on. Tichbat ha'avodo ala noshim v'yasu bahem. Paro said, that's it, Moshe. Your plan didn't work. I'm not going to even give them straw, let them work on Shabbat. What was going on? Why? What happened? They had Megillot Geula. They had these scrolls of redemption that was handed down to them. And they would open up the scrolls on Shabbat, the Midrash says, and they would read about redemption and getting out. And Avram Avinu was told, and that's going to be amazing, and it's going to be great, and building the Beit HaMikdash one day, and all these things that it was giving them chizuk on Shabbat, Paro heard about, he said, absolutely not. And that's why the Mesilat Yesharim says that Paro and the Yetzer Hara had the same idea. Says the Mesilat Yesharim, Paro took away that they should, so they shouldn't think. So too the Yetzer Hara keeps us busy every second of the day, so we shouldn't think. Because if we think, we'd get closer to God in a second. God forbid, I almost went off on the wrong road and I almost ran into somebody and Hashem saved me. Oh, Hashem, thank you. Stop thinking about Hashem. You stand in the hospital and your wife gives birth. And you say, how could it be? It's the greatest miracle in the world. A seed falls into the ground and becomes a 30-foot tree. It's a miracle. How could that be? But the Yetzer Hara doesn't let us think about that because he gave us these devices where every 3 seconds it's ringing, where every 3 seconds I'm on 180 WhatsApp chats, where every 4 seconds a phone call's coming in. And I have to take care of this, and I have to take care of that. The Yetzer Hara is very successful. He keeps us busy just like Paro the entire time. Doesn't even give us the Shabbat that they were given to read the Megillot of Geula so they could think about Hashem and think about redemption. So too says the Mesilat Yesharim, don't fall for that. Don't fall for what the Yetzer Hara does to get you distracted and therefore you're not able to You're not able to think about Hashem. And if you would, in two seconds, you would come back to Hashem. So Yaakov is called Emet, Titen Emet Yaakov. Aleph is the first word of the Aleph Bet. Mem is dead middle, the second letter of the Aleph Bet. Tet is the last word of the Aleph Bet. Yaakov Avinu, Tof, I'm sorry, thank you so much. Tof is the last word of the Aleph Bet. Therefore, beginning, middle, and end. Yaakov Avinu worked on himself to say, Hashem, it's all, at the end of the day, it's all one thing. It's all one. I see it from beginning to end, Hashem. You had a plan over here. And when he went into Mitzrayim, he was ready to put it all together, which I'm coming together to answer the questions that I asked in the beginning. So let's go to the second question first. Vayichi Yaakov. And Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim, and it says Vayihi, which is Lashon Tzar, that he had a bitter life. Yes, they're both true. Even though Yaakov had such a bitter life from the time he left Rivka and his father to the time that he's coming down to Mitzrayim, it didn't matter. Vayichi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim. He lived. Chayut. He lived. He lived those 7 years fully, taking advantage of every day. It says by Avram Avinu, Avram ba bayamim. He came with all his days. It's a very funny terminology to say somebody's of age. It's used in other parts of Tanakh as well. Ba bayamim. Did he come with his calendar? Did he come? What do you mean came with his days? Meaning he came in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam with his days all measured. Baba Yamim, every day was measured. Yaakov Avinu said these 17 years are going to be measured. Every single day I'm going to live. I had a hard life. Vayehi, Lashon Tzar. His life was hard. But I look back and I'm going to sweeten those times. Because I know that the final redemption will come until we're holding on through these temporary redemptions that I'm giving my children. You see, 9:50 is the time we end, right? So let me get to the story. I'll tell you a story. A person came to the Baruditshiva Rebbe, and he said, Rebbe, Baruch Hashem, I'm marrying off my daughter. It's Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov. He goes, Nishpashet. I don't have any money. I'm going to be so embarrassed in front of my future machatonim. I know what to tell my daughter. I know what to tell my wife. I don't know what to do. So the Rebbe said, listen, there's a town not too far from here, and they sell lottery tickets. Why don't you go buy a lottery ticket? This is his advice. This is his etzah. This is what it's come to. I have to buy a lottery ticket. He comes home. His wife says, "No, what did the Rebbe say?" He says, "Chanala, don't even ask. It's not good. We're in a bad place. We have to buy a lottery ticket." She says, "Lottery ticket? That's what he said. I'm not going. We have a wedding coming up. I don't know what to tell you. I have to go borrow gemachs." She goes, we're gemacht out. We can't go to any more gemachs. She says, listen, you're talking about the Baruditshiva over here. He doesn't talk stam. If he's saying to go to this place to buy a lottery ticket, why don't you go and buy a lottery ticket? I said, okay, my wife tells me to do it. I have to do it, right? So he goes to this place, and he can't believe it. The drawing is not going to be for a month after the wedding. He says, I need down payments now. They're all asking me for money. What is it? Even if I win, it's a month later. But he buys the ticket. On the way back, he comes and he stays in the inn because it got dark. To spend the night, he's tzabrachan. There was a pirate who was staying in that inn. Those rich landowners that used to rent out land to other Jews. This pirate goes to sleep at night and he has a funny dream. That there's a Jew in this inn that has the winning ticket to the lottery from that town. What a What a matna maisa, crazy thing. He goes back to sleep. He dreams again. There's a Jew in this inn that has the winning ticket to the lottery, and he's staying in this inn. He says, this is crazy. He goes to sleep and has the dream a third time. He goes, no. He goes down to the desk. He says, is there a Jew staying in this inn here? Guy says, yeah, on the second floor, the last room on the right. Knocks on the door. This Jew comes with his pajamas. He goes, can I help you? He says, listen, I know this sounds crazy, but I have a custom that I buy a lottery ticket and then I switch it with my friend, and it's fun and it's a thing. And did you by any chance buy a lottery ticket in that time? He goes, I did. Yeah, he goes, I'll switch it with you and I'll give you 100 rubles. The Jew goes, I don't know. I'd rather keep my own ticket. He goes, I'll tell you what. I'll sweeten the pot. I'll give you 200 rubles. Now already he's thinking about the Bardichever. He's thinking there's something cooking over here with this guy. He says, thank you so much. You're such a nice man. I'm good to go. 300 rubles. He says, I told you, I want to get back to sleep, go back to my family. He puts his foot on the door and he says, you listen to me. I'm not asking you anymore. I'm going to come into your room and take that ticket from you. And because I'm a nice guy, I'm not a thief, I'm going to give you 500 rubles for it. By force, he takes the ticket, gives him 500 rubles. This Jew has no idea what's going on. He goes back, he has 500 rubles to put some down payment. The florist, the caterer, the dress. He has money to get things going. He's not embarrassed anymore. After the chasana, the numbers come in and the Jew wins. Now he has no idea what's going on. He had the wrong ticket. He doesn't know what's going on. He goes to the Baditchu and goes, Rebbe, what in the world happened here? He says, really? That guy who was in that inn over there, do you know what it took for me? Do you know what it took for the Rabbeinu Shalom to wake up that no good person and to put that dream in his head three times so he can come to give you a down payment until the lottery was drawn? You needed a salvation, but you needed a temporary salvation. And that wasn't going to come for a month later. So Hashem put the ticket in his hand and put this mishugas in his head that he should come to do this swap with you. So until your final redemption comes, you had a little temporary redemption to get through. And the Bardichever said, our final redemptions will come. But we need temporary redemptions to get to them. So I'll end off by answering the first question. Why is it that he teased them to say that end is coming and he didn't tell them? Even though we don't know when, even though we don't know the details, that tease, says the Or Gedol Yahu, is that shuka that we have, that chalila when October 7th happens, we're all in a tumult again to see, pulling out the Nevi'im and connecting, and it shouldn't take that, but Chas V'Shalom it does, we should never know from it again, and our hostages should come home, and Eretz Yisrael should be in peace, the Jews should have peace, but says the Ovidalio, every time we have that itch, every time we get excited, and we have that Shuka for Mashiach, it comes from that time when he almost told them, but he didn't tell them. Like a friend who tells you know that friend of ours who moved to Australia, she's coming back. When? I wasn't supposed to say anything. You don't know. You know where she is. You lost track, but you heard that she's coming back. You don't know when, but she slipped. She slipped. She told you she's coming back. You don't know the details, but you're on edge now. Is it this week? Is it next week? Is she coming back to our school? Is she coming back to our neighborhood? I don't have her. Can I get her contact? I lost. You're all riled up now. Because they teased you and they told you she's coming back, even though they didn't give you any details. So Hashem should help us that this gift that I got from this Rebbe who set me straight and said, listen, I see you're caught up in this whole Gulf War thing. Hashem should help. This should be it. Every generation has the opportunity. But it's been 34 years since then, and Mashiach hasn't come. So what have I held on to? I've held on to the Arzei Shittim. I've held on to those pieces of wood that Yaakov Avinu promised that because these woods were planted here, they were for a purpose that they'll be built. And every time we stand at the kotel, you think we're just standing by a wall. Though that kotel that we stand by is the wood that reminds us that wall is standing there because the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt again. Yeah, it'll happen again. But in the meantime, let us take whatever we can that's mechazik us, whatever gives us serenity and peace until we reach that final redemption when Hashem gathers us and takes us into Yerushalayim. B'mhei Rabbi Amin.
Shkayim.